Hebrews 11, verse 10 verses. Sometimes we can think that we're doing pretty good, or I've got this, or I'm a pretty big person. But truth is, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. Can't even walk without you holding my hand. And so I would just share this, that we take for granted sometimes. And the next part of that song says that down on my knees is where I learned to stand. And I think, you know, Carol and I have just come to expect, I guess, your prayers. But we really covet your prayers. And I'm counting on you. We're counting on you. I know you'll come through on that regard. Please, and it's not really so much for me, but please pray for Luke, Jerusha, Haven, as they're there, and Quinn and Trace as they're here, and I think Grandpa and Grandma are in charge of them for maybe a week or so. So it's an inconvenience, obviously. It's a stress on their family. So pray for them. And if I'm thinking clearly, and if the Lord gives me life and I get through the surgery, my first words are going to be, how's my son? That's my concern, okay? So please remember him. Hebrews 11. And maybe I should just say this yet. Thank you in advance. Thank you for all that you do for us, your prayers. People tell me, and man, I'm digressing here a little bit, but sometimes people say that they're praying for you, and it's people you don't even know that well, and people are just all over the place praying for you, and that means more than what you can express your thanks for. And so we want to thank you for your prayers in advance and your love. All right, Hebrews 11, 1 to 10. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. For all who are able, we would ask that you would kneel for prayer.
I too would like to greet each of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I had to think as I was sitting up here. I don't know if there's a time that I come up here and sit down and I don't think about a good brother who would come up here and almost every time he'd lean out on his pulpit like this, he'd look out into the audience. And he'd say how much he loved yous. And what a beautiful sight it is to look out into your faces this morning. We miss Brother Steve very much. And along with a lot of others that have passed on. And now we are standing here, not taking their place, but carrying on what they have left for us. I'd like to thank you for your prayers. Thank Brother Dwayne for his prayer. And I'd ask that you continue to pray as we go through the message here this morning. We sing that song, "All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down." And I was reminded recently that we ministers cannot change people. It's not within my power to change people. It's my responsibility to preach the Word of God to the best of my ability. The commands, the warnings, the doctrines. And from there we let the changing up to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings conviction, and the Holy Spirit is the one who can change people. This morning we'd like to look at the idea of faith, believing in God, and what it means to diligently seek Him. If you'd like a title, I just have Diligently Seeking God. Verse 6 of the text that was read, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, will be our key verse. And I will be referring back to that throughout the message. And so if we open our Bibles, or if we have our Bibles open, we'd like to look at verse 6 there. The first part of that verse says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." Now I'd like us to let that statement sink in just a little bit. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because of the way it's written there in the original, and I'm the Greek scholar, so I'm taking some words that I read literally here. The Greek scholar, his name was Kenneth, his last name starts with a W there, Kenneth W., wrote this about that first part of verse 6. And I quote, "The statement is universal in all its application and timeless. The idea is, without faith, it is impossible to please Him at all." Unquote. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so we might ask the question, in light of that, what is faith? Or what is the faith being referred to here? If we turn back to verse 1, we know that verse very well. Many of us have memorized that verse. It's a definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I think maybe in light of our recent minister's classes, looking at Bible translations, I looked up the Greek word there that is translated for substance. And that Greek word could also be translated as assurance or confidence. And so the New English Translation says it this way, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Gives it just a little bit different light. The Greek word there that I'm referring to, hypostatos, translated here in Hebrews 11 verse 1 as substance or confidence, it literally means a setting or a placing under. And it carries the idea of a foundation or a structure. And so the faith being described here is not just wishful thinking. It is a deep confidence grounded in a real yet unseen foundation. Our faith is the foundation of our Christian walk, and it is absolutely essential in our living out the commands of Scripture. In light of what we are talking about here, I came across this. The verse reads, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Here, substance refers to the solid, foundational reality of what is hoped for, giving assurance even before it is physically experienced. I'm going to read that again. Substance, as found here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, verse 1, refers to the solid, foundational reality of what is hoped for, giving assurance even before it is physically experienced. As we continue reading through Hebrews 11, also we know it as a faith chapter, and you will notice that many of these verses start with the words, by faith. And so along with verse 1's definition, the author here goes on to describe and illustrate what it means to have faith, or what is meant by faith here. And in many of these verses, it goes on to describe someone who in many cases went against, I'm going to call it, human reasoning. If we look it down at verse 7, Noah, he was warned of God of things not yet seen. He moved with fear and built an ark for the saving of his family. Noah here, because of his confidence in God, that God was going to do what he said, prepares for a flood, something that had never happened before. Do you think Noah would have worked for approximately 100 years on a project if he didn't think God was serious? With all the, I'm sure he was made fun of and all that. Through that, Noah was confident that God was going to do what he said. Noah knew God would follow through. He believed God, and through faith, he prepared an ark. If we go down to the next verse, Abraham. We see Abraham there. He moved out of his hometown or his home city, the Ur of the Chaldees there, to follow a call to move somewhere else. And it says very plainly there that he didn't know where he was going. And we can imagine that conversation maybe with his father. Abraham, where are you moving? Well, God told me, or why are you moving? I'm sorry. Why are you moving? Well, God told me that I should move. Well, where are you moving to? Well, God hasn't told me where I'm moving yet, that I need to move from here. So you're moving because God told you to move, but you don't know where you're going. Yeah. And God also told me that my descendants would become a great nation. We can kind of imagine how some of these conversations would have went. And we see a decision that goes beyond human reasoning. These men and women described here in Hebrews 11 showed us confidence and a surety in God and His Word, even though they could not see the end product or the end result. And so in all these different accounts, the author is giving us a fuller picture of what it means to have faith. Because without it, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So as we consider first the definition there in verse 1, and then the author's accounts that he uses to illustrate faith, we see something that is living. Something that is sure, something that is confident. Our faith in God needs to be a living, active faith. A faith that knows and follows God. A faith that communes and fellowships with God. A faith that is confident that God is going to do what He says. If we turn to John chapter 3, there we have the account of Nicodemus coming to Jesus. And it says he came to Jesus by night there, and he's asking Jesus about his teaching. And Jesus goes on to tell him that he needs to be born again. I'm going to start at verse 9. Jesus explains what it means to be born again. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You see, Nicodemus here, he's trying to work out in his mind how all these things are going to take place. What does it mean to be born again? He's trying to work through this thing in his mind. And he's trying maybe to completely understand it before he commits. Jesus says, you must be born again. Nicodemus responds, how is that possible? Jesus says, believe through faith. You know, we can sit and discuss and debate how to become a child of God all day long. Questions to have a better understanding, I believe, are good. Knowing or counting the cost is good. But it comes down to, it goes beyond an intellectual or a head knowledge. It has to involve the heart. There are going to be areas of the Christian life where we may not completely understand. Things are going to come up that we never anticipated. It comes down to the place that in order to become a child of God, you need to accept what Jesus said in His Word and believe that He will follow through. And that's faith. Believe through faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Many of us here this morning have made that step of faith. We have accepted the call of God. We have Jesus Christ living in our life, in our hearts. What happened to your faith since you made the decision to follow Jesus? What has happened to it? Can or does faith grow? I would hope and pray that every child of God here this morning could say that they have more faith now than when they started their Christian journey. You see, I believe faith does grow. When I experience God fulfilling His Word, when I experience God moving in my own life, when I experience answered prayer, my faith, the substance, the assurance or confidence that I have in God grows even stronger. The foundation that I stand on in my Christian life today is stronger than when I was first saved. And that's because God is faithful. God is faithful, and He has proven that He can be trusted. I'd like to turn to another scripture here, Luke chapter 17. First couple verses, I'm going to read a few verses there. Luke chapter 17. And the context here is offenses and forgiveness. Luke 17, 1-4. Then said He unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. What I'd like us to notice is the response in verse 5. Notice the response there. It says, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. As Jesus lays out how a child of the kingdom should respond, especially in the area of forgiveness, the disciples here realize that their faith is weak, and it's too weak to live like Jesus is talking about here. It seems like they realize that it's just out of their grasp, at least on their own strength. This is out of their grasp. Jesus is teaching here that His followers, believers in Jesus Christ, would live in a way that their life would not cause others to stumble, and that they would be so loving and compassionate that they could forgive a person time and time again, even 7 times in a day. And again, I said the disciples here seem, it's, they realize it's just out of their reach, at least on their own strength. And we see the response here is, increase our faith. They understand that they desperately need a greater faith in the power and love of Christ. And shouldn't that be the cry of each one of us here this morning? Understanding that we cannot do it on our own. We cannot do this on our own strength. We need the power of Jesus Christ in our life, the power of faith. And we cry out, Lord, increase my faith. Because without that power, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And here's one of those things I think that goes beyond my understanding. God gives us the faith to be faithful when we ask. Just like God gave us the ability to love so we could love Him back. I don't understand that. But it seems like that's the way that God has chosen to work. He gives us what we need to use. I don't understand that. And so if we look at faith again here, faith in Hebrews chapter 11. The faith being talked about here is not a faith in ourself. It is not a confidence or an assurance that I can handle the situation. It's actually admitting that I cannot handle the situation on my own. I need the power of Jesus in my life. Understanding that and admitting that on my own power, I will fail miserably. If we go back, a few more thoughts on Luke chapter 17, verse 6 there. As the apostles ask for an increased faith. Notice the response of Jesus. And the Lord said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. I think it's interesting that Jesus doesn't give a list of ways to increase faith. Jesus points to a very small seed here. And the lesson seems to be not how big or large a person's faith is, but how genuine it is. Jesus does not stress quantity or the amount of faith required. Like in order to move the mountain, you need a level 8 faith. Jesus says here that even the smallest faith can do the impossible. And so we might say that faith is not measured by how big it is, but rather in the strength or how genuine it is. Do we have a genuine faith here this morning? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Moving back to verse 6 there of Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And so we see a connection here between faith and believing in this verse. In our coming to God, we must believe that He truly is God. Highlighting the word there, must, or must believe. We must believe that He is God. And so we have faith. Without faith, it's impossible. And when we come to God, we must believe. We could say there's no ifs, ands, or buts there. Without faith, it's impossible, and we must believe. God has placed evidence of His existence in everything around us. First, we'd like to look at creation, the heavens and the earth. We see God, and the psalmist in Psalms 19, 1-4, David there, I'm going to read those couple verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is going out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. David here expressing how creation itself is one of the ways that we know God exists. The world around us points to a Creator. And there is no culture or language where this evidence is not seen. The second thing is that we look at ourselves, the way our body functions, and all that's contained within our body. The cells, the red and white blood cells, the DNA that we all possess. And it's different from every other person on earth. It's amazing. Again in Psalms, David writes this in Psalms 139, 14-16. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, yet as yet there was none of them. Here again, David is expressing how our own bodies point toward a creator as evidence that there is a God. We look at God's holy word, the word of God, and how God has preserved it and inspires it throughout the ages. We're holding a very, very old book in our hands. Do we realize in the preservation of God's word alone what that means? And how God inspires it, and how it continues to be a living word, breathing into our lives, changing lives. The truths and the prophecies, the historical accounts that are continuing to be verified through archaeological digs and such, all point to God, that there is an existence of God. God has given mankind an overwhelming evidence of his existence. And now it's up to us to believe. My mind goes to the account there in Mark chapter 9, where the man brings his son that's possessed of a devil. Verse 21 says, And he asked his father, I may have that written wrong, How long is it ago since this came unto him? Jesus is speaking here, and he asked the father, the boy's father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, and oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out, and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Here we see this father bringing his son to Jesus, willing to believe that Jesus can take care of the problem, but he's struggling with doubt. And this reminds us that even in our faith, we may still struggle with doubt at times. This father shows honesty as he cries out to Jesus, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. What a powerful prayer. I believe God will help us through doubt when we acknowledge that we need his help. And again, I believe it's admitting that we cannot do it on our own. We need the power of God, even in our belief. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. The last part of that verse, verse 6 in Hebrews chapter 11, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This ties into and connects to the previous point, believing in God or the existence of God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is looking to reward that person that diligently seeks him. And the key word there is diligently. If we have a simple definition for diligent, it may be having or showing care and dedication in one's work or duties. And some words that we may think of when we hear diligent, hardworking, careful, thorough, active. These are all words that we think of when we hear the word diligent. And again, if we get back to the Greek, there as it's translated, diligently seek. It means to seek out or search for something with great effort or intensity. It implies a fervent and persistent pursuit, indicating a desire to find something with all of one's heart, strength, and might. Heart, strength, and might. Does that remind us of anything? We turn to Mark chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. This just, when I looked this up and how it all came together, it all brought tears to my eyes. It just was amazing to me. I hope I can get it across to you. Mark chapter 12, verses 28-29. One of the scribes came and having heard them reason together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one Lord, or the God is one Lord. Believing God exists. That's believing God exists. He is God. And then thou shalt seek the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's diligently seeking Him. These two verses are saying the same thing. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and Mark there where Jesus says this is the first commandment, pointing us, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, is pointing us to the greatest command. Believe God and seek Him with every ounce of my being. Are we diligently seeking God in our walk of life? Are we applying effort and intensity as we seek God? You see, God does not reward sleepy-eyed, complacent, half-interested, worldly-minded pleasure seekers. He rewards those that diligently seek Him. Those that want to follow and to know Him. And the idea there is that we must persevere and endure to the end. It's a lifelong journey. In closing here, I'd like to just go over a few points that I believe can help us diligently seek God better. The first point, and I believe this is one of the most essential things in the Christian life, is spending time in God's Word. Reading God's Word. How are we going to get to know God better if we don't spend time in His Word? We need to be in the Word of God regularly. Every day, set aside a time to read a portion of God's Word. And as you go about the day, meditate on what you've read. Maybe reflecting on the meaning of the verses and see how you can apply them to your life. The second thing is prayer. Engage in regular prayer. Pray throughout the day. Make prayer a constant part of your life. Pray about specific needs. I know we do that. We pray about specific needs here. Pray for others and for God's will to be done. Pray while you read His Word, that He would teach you something, that He would open up the truths, open up your understanding. Pray that God maybe would put someone in your life or bring someone to mind that you could reach out to that day. The third thing is repentance. Ask God to show you areas of your life that need worked on, and then be willing to work on them. Turn away from sin and ask for forgiveness. And we sing that song, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Every one of us here have areas in our life that still need some work. We acknowledge that. We're not perfect. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal those areas to us. The fourth point I'd like to convey here in seeking God diligently is attendance of church. Attending church services regularly. Participating in corporate worship and fellowship with other believers. This is an area where we need a little encouragement. Pleasant Hill is a praying church. I believe that with all my heart. Pleasant Hill is a church willing and ready to meet needs. We see that. And I believe here many here read and study the Word of God. And I commend you for that. But our attendance of Sunday evening and prayer meetings needs some work. Diligently seeking God involves supporting services with your presence. What a better place to seek God than in a place dedicated to His worship, along with other believers in corporate worship. So what I would encourage the membership here to work on that area of seeking God. The last and final thing that I'd like to encourage us with is to be persistent and patient. I mentioned this before, but don't give up easily. Seeking God is a lifelong journey, and it has many challenges. Many challenges along the way. And the devil will do all he can to make us give up. Hebrews 10:23. Hold fast. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Hold fast to your faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
I think there are a lot of, we all know of situations, and modern preachers and so on are actually redefine what faith is, biblical faith. I mean, we could read here by faith, Noah, he was warned of God and he got the job done, you know, because he had faith. And Sarah, you know, she received strength because of her faith, even though she was too old to have children, she had them, you know. And this idea of positive thinking actually has replaced biblical faith. We're at the point where some claim they can control the weather, they can control the devil, they control circumstances. That's all phony. If they would read the rest of Hebrews 11, it says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Tempted, slain with the sword. They wandered around in sheepskins and goatskins. You mean they couldn't drive their Cadillac? They mustn't have faith. That's the idea that some are presenting to us in our time. But it says the world wasn't worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. A person going through hard circumstances has no indication of their faith. You know, I know of people that have been told, oh, if you had faith, you'd be healed. That is not true. Faith is deeper than that. We need biblical faith. If we want to pursue faith, Brother Dustin told us, we've got to pursue the Word of God, see what it actually says. If you're able, let's kneel before the Lord and pray.